morning. What is up, everybody? My name is Corey. You're listening to the best looking podcast in Sacramento, the Video Game Bang. I say that with 100% certainty because we have Curtis Fisher on the show. What's up?
What up?
How you been, man?
Bro, I've been good. I've been grinding on my build on NBA 2K, as everybody knows.
It's for real over there.
It's for real. I mean, we got the clip. Barbecue chicken alert is a real thing. Yeah. Emma saw this.
I saw.
She experienced the barbecue chicken alert. And and we got some games in, and Corey was dunking on fools. Hey. I'm hitting corner three.
I was doing my best. I was throwing down as a little 66 level dude in this world of 94s.
So right.
Basically, to put that into perspective, like who are some other 94 players naturally in the game?
Kawhi done went up, but Kawhi's like a 90. He was a 95, right? So Kawhi Leonard, but he's the best player in the NBA right now.
What's LeBron in the game?
LeBron, was he a 99? Oh yeah, they dropped him down to a 98.
Okay, so I was playing against a bunch of LeBrons, and I'm like Vlade Divac.
Now
I'm Scott Pollard in his prime. 66 lowly guy getting just smashed on defense, but I hit a couple threes, and thanks for carrying me. Leak, what's going on, man?
Hey,
you're caught at that game.
Yeah, I'm first of all, I'm filling in today, sort of like raspberry custard, whatever you guys want to throw it on.
Oh my god,
how long did you sit on that?
No, I'm taking your mic. Where's that
little curl thing that they used to put on people on stage?
Oh, like the cane? Like the shepherd thing?
I've been playing video games, and I had to come on here with a bang.
That's right.
I hate everything, and you're not allowed to come here anymore.
You know what? He's filling in for David. What do you expect? Like,
He's already raised the bar.
Yeah, he's raised the bar. Break.
How dare both of you?
Right, I dare him to come back and sit in this seat now,
all right? we miss you, Webb.
David does put a lot of time into his intros. He tells me. He writes them down ahead of time sometimes. Like,
oh, that's why he's so spectacular.
Yeah. Exactly. He's like a method actor.
He does his homework. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emma Sky's back from Fanime. How was it?
It was a long weekend. It was a long weekend. That's pretty much it. I mean, it was fun, but it's always it's a long weekend.
Well, it looked like you had a lot of fun. How was this compared to other years?
It was very chill compared to other years, which is nice because I've decided I'm not stressing over costumes anymore. So this is like the first year that I've gone where I wasn't crying the night before, and which is fantastic. Fantastic. 10 out of 10 would recommend not crying over your sewing machine the night before a convention.
That's
the way to do it.
Permission to refer to us as friends?
Okay.
As a friend, you are much easier to be around during Con Crunch.
Like, you a bitch.
I mean, usually Con Crunch Emma is like, she's on, you know, like she'll show up, do her business, and she's like, I gotta go, guys. Peace.
Bye.
Then there's a puff of smoke, and she's like,
I got shit to do.
And then you see, you know, Instagram stories of the progress until 3 a.m. or, you know, usually.
Right. Or you're more like 5 a.m. sometimes. Yeah.
So, I mean, you were nice. Everything seemed good. You had all the pictures, you were smiling, you know, from Fanime. So
yeah,
it was
a good time.
What would you say was your favorite part?
I got to wear a new costume, which is always super fun.
What'd you do?
I did a Princess Mononoke. Mm.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. It was really good, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. It was like one of my favorite movies from when I was a little kid, and I finally got my ass up and did it.
Nice. I liked the movie a lot, too. I saw that about 3 years ago.
So good.
That was the first anime feature that I ever purchased, was Princess Mononoke.
How dare you? It's not anime.
Wait,
I don't
what?
Watch anime. How dare you?
Oh, Emma's in denial. She's in anime denial.
Right. Yeah, because it's
Ruby, I think.
Miyazaki.
Not an anime.
I mean, okay.
We were talking about this during Ruby's not anime. People will fight you on that. We were talking about this during Fanime because Rachel kept trying to tell me, and like everybody around me kept trying to tell me, they're like, it's anime, it's anime. And I was like, no, it's diet anime.
Mm. Oh,
everybody's
my
into it.
Goodness.
It doesn't count. It's diet anime.
Now there's a little tiny fracture in the first thing that me and Emma bonded over, which was Ruby. It's just a little broken now. Just a tiny bit.
Hairline.
It's an anime-style American show.
I think you got to explain, too, maybe one of your least favorite parts is somehow getting your account, locked down.
Oh, my God. I was in Instagram jail.
What'd you do?
I don't know. They just put me in Instagram jail where, it tells you get, a certain number of, times that you can like something or post something. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you're doing this too much. We're pretty sure you're a bot. Get the fuck out. Except it did it to me after I hadn't been on for like 2 days.
Right.
And I just went to watch. It was like, you're doing this too much. I'm like, I haven't even been on. And they're like, no, too much. Go away.
It's like, don't you judge me, Instagram.
So for like 2 days, I was in Instagram jail and I couldn't do anything.
Gosh, they put you in a slammer.
Then they put you on Instagram probation, typically, to where like they'll give you your account back.
Right.
But they will like drastically limit how far the algorithm will take your photo.
My reach is just fucking wrecked right now.
Gosh.
Wow. How do you get out of it?
See my shit on Instagram. Yeah, please like it. Because it's not going anywhere.
Jeez. The show is brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Man, we love that place.
Lost Sheep is hilarious.
What's Lost Sheep talking about this time?
So Link better get off that Spider-Man grind and get his 2K grind on, or he's a scrub. That's what that emoji
sounds like.
Yeah.
Lost Sheep is going to be the only fan of our little rec league team. Lost Sheep's
Lost Sheep.
We'll have to make merch for him. We're brought to you by Oblivion Comics Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. Who has beer now, so there's no reason not to go anymore. And downtown Sacramento is so incredible. I went this last weekend. There's always something going on. It feels like a live city. Kids skateboarding around. There's people all over these freaking scooters.
I can never find those in Sacramento. I was on them all weekend in San Jose. Cannot find them in Sacramento.
We need more.
Yeah, we need more. That's what it is. There's a lot of people on them.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
It's so good because you get so much more mileage. Like, usually you're like, okay, so I'm limited to about, you know, as far as I can come back to the parking meter. With these things, bam, you're just zipping around. You can get all over downtown, Old Sac, anything you want to do. But Oblivion is right down there on 11th and K.
I gotta say, I went to Oblivion today for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was an amazing store. I love the whole architecture of it. The menu, I didn't check that out, but that's what I'll be doing
next time. You were there for the comments.
I was there strictly for the comments. I was eating, but it was not necessarily edible food. But yes, it was an amazing place. And like you said, it's so lively down there. I haven't been downtown in a while. I've been relegated to my room. But I got out today, and thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
And I saw some daylight. The people down there skateboarding, just everybody hanging out, just made me want to like quit my job and hang out downtown all day.
It wasn't too long ago where you could just go downtown, it was dead. There's nothing going on.
I remember
you could
lay
down in the middle of the street and you know, nothing would happen. But this is it's a new place. So, and we got TV shows, Jailbirds.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. We're hot. Sacramento's so hot right now.
Sacramento's so hot right now. Anyways, as you guys saw the last episode, we did a big phase update. So you want to go check out past episodes on iTunes. You can do it on Spotify and even Pandora. So Pandora Radio carries us now. Thank you to the good people over there. Check them out. Subscribe. Rate the show 5 stars. We greatly appreciate it. And with that,
Emma.
Telling the news. That's right. That's the Emma's Telling the News theme song.
I did not miss that.
Impressive.
Well, welcome back. I had to play it so you remembered the segment.
I hate it.
I love how it explains what's happening in the theme song. It's a little Easter egg I threw in the song. Emma, what's going on in the news?
We got a few different things that we're talking about today. First of all, Jessica Jones season 3. We have a release date. We have a teaser.
Okay.
It's the beginning of the end. I'm very depressed about it.
Jessica Jones.
What was that supposed to be?
That was the first season villain.
Tell me that was not supposed to be David Tennant.
That was David Tennant.
That was 100%. That is an insult to him.
Spinning image of David Tennant.
How dare you? David Tennant, I would like to formally apologize.
He says, I'm the doctor. Like that.
Oh, dear God. Well, he's not going to be in this season, so.
Aww. Wait, was he in the second season?
He was briefly in the second season as like a hallucination kind of a thing.
Oh, okay. Now I saw this trailer too. It's really quick. If you haven't seen it already, it's like 40 seconds.
Yeah, it's super short.
And you just see her, and then a couple flashes of something. I couldn't tell what it was. I'm sure the internet has freeze framed. And so who was the villain? What are we looking at?
I actually have no idea. So I don't know if we're supposed to know who it is. As far as Netflix has said, basically it's just some deranged stalker killer dude who thinks Jessica is a fraud and is like determined to take her down.
Okay.
Don't really know who it's supposed to be.
It's like an internet troll.
Yeah.
More or less, yeah, pretty much.
Like, you know what? Our show is ending. We don't fucking care. We're going to make fun of all of you.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is you. The Netflix synopsis that they gave says, in the third and final season of Jessica Jones, Jessica and Trish team up to take down a highly intelligent psychopath. but a devastating loss reveals their conflicting ideas of heroism and sets them on a collision course that will forever change them both.
Ooh.
Very dramatic. Have you guys all watched season two?
No. I got halfway through it.
In that case, I will not spoil what happened at the end of season.
No, you can go ahead and say it. I'm not going to watch the rest of it. Yeah.
Beyond the statute.
Wow. Okay. So at the end of season two, if I remember correctly, Trish killed Jessica's mom.
Okay.
Damn!
I'm assuming that's like the devastating loss that they're going to talk about right there.
Sure. Okay.
Season two was not great. Season two of Jessica Jones was a disappointment. So I'm hoping they're going to bring it with season three. They kind of have to. It's the last one. This is the last of the Defenders.
Yep.
It's the last we're getting from the Netflix Marvel shows.
Yep.
Fucking bummer.
So this is going to be like, let's see if they end on a high note. Hopefully they do.
I hope so.
This is kind of an interesting one of their...
This is their last chance.
Yeah, this is their interesting character. Are they planning, or do you guys hope to see like those last incarnations of the rest of the Defenders?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope there's like a cameo of like the rest of them. Like if they just like threw him into the last episode or something, but probably not.
Like a Star Wars celebration. Like she, you know, finished it. She's having her birthday party and then everyone just comes over.
They all come up as Force ghosts.
Yeah.
Just like Star Wars.
I'll take it, man. I loved each of the four characters individually. Their shows varied in quality from season to season and whatnot. But yeah, so just to see them all together, I just like team ups. Like, you know, I came from the cartoons, mm-hmm. and every time someone else was on the show, it was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'll take another one of those moments,
why, like,
please.
The fact that the Defenders was one of the weakest of the shows was such a bummer.
So sad.
I know.
Like, individually, they were all great, with the exception of, like, Iron Fist Season 1.
Yeah.
But then Iron Fist Season 2 was so good.
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think of all these characters, because Netflix canceled them all, yeah. and then there's a non-compete, so we're not going to see these characters for a very long time, which means we're probably not going to see these actors back in those roles.
Never.
Right. Ever. I think of all of them, that is got to be – it's going to be hard to top that Daredevil more than any of the rest.
Yeah.
That dude
yeah.
killed it, and you can tell he's one of those dudes who loved the role.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be just – I'm just sad that guy can't be Daredevil anymore. Cause
yeah. Charlie Cox. Right?
Charlie Cox.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie Cox is incredible. Awesome actor. Heck of an ambassador for the role even. He was a perfect person to kind of kick it all off. Don't forget about the fifth person, though. Punisher, too. John Bernthal.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's another casualty of it all.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so depressed. So Jessica Jones Season 3 releases on June 14th. So we're just over 2 weeks away, and it'll be my last chance to binge watch all of them at midnight.
For a while, yeah.
Midnight to 10 a.m., 13 episodes.
Next time you do, we'll probably be on Hulu.
We'll see.
If they
we'll
decide,
see.
Yeah.
Because Hulu doesn't, Hulu always does that thing where like they release three on the first night, and then they do it weekly.
Oh, Yeah.
So I don't know if Disney Plus is going to do the same thing, or, you know, because I think with Hulu, the last one they did was The Runaways, and they put that one out all at once. And it was like, as far as I know, it was the first one that I watched that they put out all at once.
Okay.
That's good. Did you see all the other things Netflix is canceling?
No.
Netflix is doing a culling right now. They're getting rid of The Get Down, Hemlock Grove, Bloodline.
Hemlock Grove is only just now being canceled?
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Well, some of them, they were, I think, a little too quick on the trigger. Some maybe were a little overdue. What's the other big one? Oh, that comedy. So the characters, which I thought was really funny.
No idea what that is.
Longmire, House of Cards, Sense 8, Disjointed.
No, don't get me fucking started on Sense 8. This is a really old list, by the way, because Sense 8 got canceled a long time ago.
Well, some of these were announced, but now it's like. Official, like something Fuller, started. Like Fuller House, I think just got canceled as well.
Oh, word,
yeah. Dang. And then one that I was bummed about was
Serve Better.
Everything Sucks. Did you guys see that one?
No, oh, that one finally got canceled.
It was only one season.
Yeah. Well, I know because people were like, that was one of those where like if you went on any single post on like their Instagram, their Facebook page, their Twitter, whatever, mm-hmm. like every fucking comment was renew everything sucks, renew everything sucks for like hundreds of comments. And I'm like, y'all crap. Need to chill.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Okay. A fervent group.
Another surprising one they canceled was that Joel McHale. He had like, they kind of revived his E show.
Oh, no way. I used to love that.
I used to love that show. I hate that. That one wasn't terrible.
No.
I watched the whole season. It was okay.
Yeah. He didn't relive the the glory days, but
no, it wasn't quite the suit, but it was basically the same fucking thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Even down to that show. Some of the characters were just blatant ripoffs of the others.
And like the set and everything, and seriously? Like the live audience. The live audience. I think they may have joked about it before, but like it was it basically looked like they just took a bunch of Netflix employees on their lunch break and were like, hey, we're recording this in here, and we need you to sit here and like laugh at stuff.
It's pretty funny. I'm gonna check it out now.
The most sad one though for me is American Vandal.
No, never watched that.
Not getting a third season. Mm. Mockumentary style. It's very, very, very well done. Super funny. But I'm glad we got those two seasons. If you haven't watched it yet, you need a laugh. That's what you watch. What else we got, Emma Skies?
Pokemon had a really weird Twitter press conference.
Okay, was it really a press conference or like a? It felt more like a business meeting that they just let us watch.
Yeah, I mean they've done this before. I think like they call it a press conference, but it's all on Twitter, so you just read their fucking tweets.
Right.
And they started off and they're like, we've got four new announcements, and these are the announcements. So the first thing that they announced was a new Detective Pikachu game coming to the Switch.
Surprise!
So they are capitalizing off the movie.
Yep.
That everybody is loving right now. So if you wanted one of those, you're getting it on the Switch. When did the last Detective Pikachu game come out?
3DS?
Yeah, I was going to say 3DS, yeah.
So it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. It wasn't, but
your lifetime, it was. So yeah, it's not that long ago.
Wow.
That's how I rate things now on this show. It's like,
my lifetime.
How old was Emma when this shit came out? Oh, yeah. No, that's not that old.
I mean, I get when you get into like your 40s where you guys are, you know, it gets a little hard.
Things get a little hazy. You need something to compare stuff to.
You're middle aged, Corey.
I know. I'm ordering a motorcycle now.
Oh, Jesus. The second announcement. Okay, so announcements 2 and 3 I thought were a joke. I saw these as like somebody made a meme of it and I was like, oh, what a weird out of the blue joke to make. But it's funny.
Right.
Not a fucking joke.
Nope. True.
So the second announcement is for a service called Pokemon Home, which is, as they say, a cloud service that will work with Nintendo Switch and iOS and Android devices, allowing you to bring over the Pokemon that you've shared adventures with through your journey.
So it's like Pokemon Bank, the next iteration that incorporates now your mobile game. So now they're basically connecting their Pokemon universe. If you had Blue, now there's a way to transfer them into that bank thing. Mm-hmm. And then from the bank, it goes into Home. And then Home will sort everything from all the Pokemon shit that you've ever seen. So your Pokemon Go can jump in and you could trade them back to Pokemon Blue if you wanted to. if it has the sprite. I think it's still got those limitations, obviously.
It would have to, if it wasn't originally programmed. I laughed at it. I mean, the name alone, I was kind of like, that's way too on the nose, techie type thing. Okay, marketing team, calm your tits. And then I was like, okay, the service, right? Okay, makes sense. And then I got a little judgy, and I was like, who the hell is going to sit here and do all this? And then I was like, you know what? This might do better than I thought. So I went through like the stages of accepting the fact that there's a Pokemon Home.
Anger, denial.
Yep.
All of that.
Yep. I went through all of it.
Bargaining.
Yeah. And like in a millisecond. So it was a pretty interesting experience.
So it's going to be like a single Poke Center for all of your Pokemon across all of your games, basically.
Yeah. And I think you can go there and pet them and talk to them and put them in hats.
But will you have to pay for it?
Yes. Yeah, so even Pokemon Bank had a subscription fee because I would have like been down. I still could dig up my Game Boy and stuff and somehow get my original Pikachu into my new game. Like, that'd actually be kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah. But then it said $4 a month or some shit, and I was like, no. No.
Absolutely not. They can live in their separate games and never see each other.
Yeah, they'll never see the light of day.
I will isolate them.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not paying $4 a month.
Leek, do you have any Pokemon experience?
I do. I used to watch the TV show back when I was a freshman in high school. I was pretty hard on that. I did play Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue on Game Boy. And then I took some very hard fought losses to Pikachu and Smash.
So you have some baseline Pokemon stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's how it goes, man. That's how it be. What was the next announcement?
So announcement number 3 is where I was like, all right, this is not real.
This is a troll.
This
April
is
Fool's.
Not fucking real.
Yeah.
Announcing Pokemon Sleep, which is exactly what you think it is.
You know, I think this is awesome. Pokemon is doing the nice guy thing what they found out was, like, with Pokemon Go, they were onto something. It was all, and they were clear in their marketing. This is about getting you outdoors and experiencing the sunshine, and goddamn, it worked.
Yeah.
Like, there's a, there was, it was like, The Happening.
Yeah.
You walk out. You remember the week launch week for Pokemon Go?
Oh, my God.
Everywhere, on every block, someone was walking to catch Pokemon. So it is.
People had car batteries hooked up to their phones.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
I interrupted a six-year-old's birthday party trying to catch a Pikachu. I swear to God.
It was wild.
I felt real bad.
And so now these Pokemon developers were like, what other good can we do in the world? And then they came up with Pokemon Sleep. I don't...
They're like, nah, you guys are out too much. We have to stop this. We didn't expect to unleash this on the world. They need to go back inside.
You know what this is? You know who's running the company? My name is Earl. They're like, oh, we spent 20 years making kids fat and keeping them awake at night.
Right.
Now it's time to undo all our wrongs.
Right.
And we're going to get them to walk and sleep.
So Pokemon Sleep was announced as, quote, a new app from the Pokemon company that tracks a user's time sleeping and brings a gameplay experience unlike any other. So I'm not entirely certain what that means, but basically it's just going to, you're going to get shit while you sleep. Like, Pokemon's out here trying to become a lifestyle brand.
It is.
Yeah, they totally are.
I don't know if it was a troll or not, but they're saying that they announced also... oh, no, you have it on the note. Let's just skip to it because it's related.
Yes, announcement number 4, which also sounds like it's fucking fake.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go +++. The word plus and then a symbol for plus.
So they already...
Not to be confused with your Pokemon Go plus.
So they already had Pokemon Go. We all know about that. Then they came out with Pokemon Go plus... And what's the next in line?
So now you use it as a Pokemon Go Plus during the day, and at night you put it next to your pillow, and it tracks your sleeping and sends that information to your smartphone via Bluetooth.
Okay, now that part I did not catch.
Which I don't understand why you need a separate device for this, because your phone can do that.
Yeah.
I do that with my phone.
Same.
And I also heard it's not healthy to, like, sleep with electronics next to your head.
Right?
Jeez. Anyway.
It's like a radioactive signals, all
right? Right.
You get right in your brain. That's how the government tracks you, okay?
I'm just saying. Chemtrails.
It does seem a little unnecessary. It's supposed to, I think, play noises for you and things, too.
Oh, my God.
Like, if you need it, like, white noise and things like that. So it's supposed to be, like, an all-in-one, this thing. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. I can't sleep with an electronic in my bed.
I have an app that tracks sleep, and basically you just put your phone face down next to you and it tracks, like, your movement while you're sleeping, so it tells you, like, when you sort of woke up and then when you were in REM sleep, and, like, your phone can do all this. You don't need a separate device for it.
How does your phone know that, though?
It uses the accelerometer in your phone, so as your bed moves when you're moving around as you sleep.
What
kind of phone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Which number?
7.
Okay.
We got to give a Germanic Ogre some love.
And I've been doing it since, like, the iPhone 5.
Hmm.
That's smart.
What's it called? Yeah, shoot me that app afterwards. Yeah.
Sings you to sleep.
Yeah, Germanic Ogre says Jigglypuff needs to sing you to sleep.
Rest.
Now, if it was, like, a stuffed Jigglypuff that sits on your bed and, like, sings you to sleep and that tracks you.
That would be smart.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
I'll let the government track me with that shit.
Gummy.
And apparently right now there's, like, a bunch of sleeping Snorlax that you can catch out in Pokemon Go to, like, celebrate.
Is that what they did?
Oh, I guess goodness. So.
They're always doing something like that. I love Pokemon. You know
what? How much longer do we have? They're just going so far, man.
Yeah.
This is so weird. The sleep thing, I don't understand. So the meme that I had seen was, like, somebody matched them together and was, like, introducing Pokemon, let's go home and let's go to sleep. I was like, all right, I'm down for that. It's a weird joke to make, but.
Next one's going to be Pokemon Go Get a Job.
The one after that is going to be Pokemon Put Your Credit Card Right Here.
They all do that already.
Your Pokemon 401k.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Just go ahead.
Pokemon Grocery. They're going to be the new Amazon. They're just going to take over every facet of your life.
They're just going to force you into making good life decisions to catch rare Pokemon.
Is it good life decisions, though? Because they're just like, you should just sleep forever.
Well, maybe. But then that's why you got to go play Pokemon Go, and then you play Pokemon Let's Stop Smoking, and then you... there was one other one that seemed kind of interesting that I think was my biggest takeaway was they're going to make a new... it's not Monster Hunter. What's that really popular mobile game where it's like 3v3 turn-based type strategy? There's so many clones of it. Like, there's a Star Wars version, but they actually are going to produce, like, a Pokemon battling game that's like Monster Hunter. I think it's Monster Hunter.
Okay. And man, if only we had like a set of notes that you could write things down before the show.
I saw that Pokemon was in the notes, so I assumed they were thorough. I messed
up. If only you would read the notes before the show.
You know what? I want to talk about the next topic anyways, because I think we're going to disagree. Emma, next story, please.
We got some new Death Stranding shit, finally.
Kinda.
What do you mean, kinda? You got a 9-minute trailer.
Okay, we got. You said we got some new Death Stranding stuff. We got some
more.
You got
a new trailer. You got a release date. You got a statement from Kojima about the purpose and the point of the game. Mm. I don't know what you think here isn't new.
Cool. Take us through it.
So, first of all, the release date for this game is November 8th, 2019.
This year.
Which fucking shocked me. I did not think we would be seeing this game for at least like 2 more years.
Deal. The breakdown on this one, this is the one we've covered on the show very briefly. It's the one with Norman Fetus. It had something to do with babies, and he was pregnant, and he has a baby, and then he goes to the dark world.
Not at all what this game is.
That was from the initial trailers. It's just very confusing. Now it's still confusing if I believe what I saw.
Did you guys watch the trailer?
No. I did not watch the trailer.
Seven and a half minutes.
Yeah. Seven and a half minutes.
8 minutes and 51
It's got like an epilogue. It's very Kojima.
Yeah. I read an article and I saw some of the screenshots, but I didn't know that it was that long.
I've actually never heard of it. Yeah.
It's trendy. Oh, my God. We're going to watch the trailer later. This is going to be so good.
We'll watch it, yeah.
So we got a 9-minute trailer, which includes a lot more of the plot than we've ever had before, because they have actual conversations. You get a lot more gameplay than we've seen before, because I think it was the Game Awards video, which is a lot of walking around. People are like, oh, it's a walking simulator. So now they're like, all right, fine. We're going to give you shit that's not walking. Shut up about it. So you get some combat. You get some driving. You got a whole host of new characters and an amazing cast. I cannot get enough of Mads Mikkelsen, so I'm so excited for this.
Mads is dope.
I'm in love with that man.
He's a good pick.
He's so good. And, like, you don't really know. Like, you're pretty sure he's a villain, but, like, he also could not be a villain. You're not really sure how that's going. He can, like, seems to be able to control the dead. But then in the trailer, like, you see him as a normal person as well. I'm not really sure where that's going.
Yeah.
He sets a whole lake on fire and doesn't burn him. It's a thing.
That was a weird scene. That was one of the epilogue scenes.
Yeah.
You think you'd seen the trailer, and then it cuts to, like, no, we're not done. Like, cold ending. Okay. And then it gives you another one. There's, like, three cold
like
endings
three
on
more.
This thing.
Yeah.
Crap.
It's very, like, that's why I said it's Kojima to a T. If you never got to play the Metal Gear series, or you're not, like, up on those, just watch this. Those are movies. They're not games. You play for like 20
Metal
minutes
Gear
at a time.
Five.
Yeah. And then you watch a 30-minute cutscene. Right. You play for 15 minutes, watch an hour cutscene.
Right.
This looks like a movie I want to watch, all right? So I'm fine with that.
Does it?
It does.
Ladder? Really?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I don't like about this game. I think it's going to make the, like we saw before, I bet you this thing didn't have a combat system in it 2 months ago. Like, they heard the feedback of everybody being like, okay, all we see is walking. There's fighting, right? And they're like, oh, shit, we got to add fighting. We forgot the fighting.
Wow.
Because for how good the game looks, like, the models are great. Like, the scenes are well acted. And then it does this thing where he's running away from the bad guys. And then it's that typical bad guy thing where you see them, their animations pause before they swing at you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad. And then when he starts, finally, like, the music changes, they're like, oh, by the way, guys, there's combat. And Norman Reedus turns around and starts, like, throwing punches.
Yeah.
Like, it was the worst, like, you know.
I thought the combat looked fine.
No,
it looked like hand-to-hand combat. No. And then when you get hit, like, you're carrying a bunch of shit, so some of the things that you have on you can fall off.
Okay.
You can pick them up and then use them as weapons and beat the other guy with the thing that you just picked up.
Okay.
It's not a bad combat
system. Just spoiled, maybe, from, we all saw the Last of Us 2 trailer, right?
Yes.
Remember how, and in other games where, like, you throw a punch and something and they react or they block, or this just seemed like I was playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance where you're just swinging on fools and their reactions are just kind of like, blah, 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 not really like reacting. I don't know. It just looked fake, like too cheap animation. Like, I want a fleshed out full combat system where that's what you're doing. This looks like punching is an afterthought. It's like a mini game.
I mean, it also may be that, like, the game isn't about the fighting.
Then why make it?
That sounds like your problem.
All good games have fighting.
You want a game. Like, you don't want an exploration game. You don't want, like, a big open world game. You don't want a big, like, you know, you just want a big fighting game. Because, you know, there's guns, too.
Yeah, and that looked bad too.
It looked fine. It looked like guns.
The person developing is a terrible aim. Like if you go back and watch that, watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he like tries to aim for the head and then he kind of corrects a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, Emma. I wasn't sold.
I think it's fine.
What else did you see that really stood out to you?
There was a whole lot because like you finally got like a look at kind of what it's going to be about. And so you see that the United States of America is now the United Cities of America.
Okay.
And it seems to be that the general plot is going to be that you, as Norman Reedus, you're Sam Bridges, and you're reconnecting everything. There's a lot of stuff about creating bridges. Like, your character's name is literally Bridges. Mm-hmm. Like creating bridges, reconnecting humanity. You know, they kind of talk about, like, if humanity is going to survive, we need to be together. We need to reconnect everything. We can't be separated like this. So mm-hmm. whatever happened, whatever these BTs... that they call them, are clearly separated everybody.
Okay.
We have no idea how. We have no idea why. Still really don't really get an idea of what they are. You get a little bit of an idea of what the little Norman fetuses are.
They're like tools.
Yeah, they're bridge babies, they call them. They call them bridge babies.
Okay.
And they... I don't really know what they are. Like, you're still not really supposed to... I guess not really supposed to get it, but they talk about, like, he hooks up into it, and you hear a voiceover of somebody saying, like, I feel like shit every time we do this. And the guy's like, yeah, me too. But, you know, you're connecting to the other side. So it kind of freaks me out. So not really sure what that's about.
I want to see this trailer now.
You get, like, dragged down by, like, because in the other trailers you saw, like, all, like, the sort of ghosty things that are in the air that you can't really see but kind of come out when it rains. Mm-hmm. You get dragged down by those. And when you get dragged through the earth, you're, like, in a World War I era battlefield, which is where you start shooting in things. And
oh, damn.
It looks super weird.
Weird.
It looks super weird, but I really like weird. I like the weird, trippy, psychological shit.
I like psychological stuff,
There's
too,
a ton of exploration, and, like, it gives you a look at your equipment. We also, like, at one point, yes, he pulls out a ladder. You have a retractable ladder, so, like, you can get from different levels of terrain. He pulls out a climbing anchor, so you can anchor yourself in and rappel down, and it's, like, kind of seems like you can go everywhere. Like, you have the tools to go anywhere you want to go.
It's pretty dope.
That's where it feels like more of a simulator and less of a game I want to play. Like, if I see a mountain, I want to climb up the mountain one way or the other. But in this one, so he pulls out, like, a telescoping ladder that's, like, 60 feet wide. And then I can only imagine that's going to take, like, 6 minutes to set up. And then you're going to crawl across it super slow.
He sets it up in, like, 2 seconds.
And then you're going to get to the other side and have to put it away.
Use it.
And it got a little dirty, so you got to spray it down and wash it. And then...
is it really going to be that much of a simulator?
It is.
It's not.
And then to get down the mountain, he did the same thing. He pulls out a spike, hammers it into the ground, ties it around his waist, checks the knot, takes a drink of water.
Did you not like Red Dead Redemption?
No, I hated that. No, I want to just run to where I'm supposed to be and just jump up a fucking mountain like I'm Master Chief.
This is just you wanting, like, a linear, action-based point A to point B,
a totally different
shit
game,
and kill it game.
Basically,
yes. That's not what it is. And you're getting mad at the game for not being a game that you want it to be. That's a completely not the point of the
game. I'm just mad in general. I'm not really mad at the game it's specific.
You're mad at Kojima.
I'm mad at Kojima.
Speaking of Kojima, he put out a statement about it. So this is what Kojima has to say about the game. He says, people have built walls and become accustomed to living in isolation. Death Stranding is a completely new type of action game where the player's goal is to reconnect isolated cities in a fragmented society. All elements, including the story and gameplay, are bound together by the theme of strand, or a connection. As Sam Porter Bridges, you will attempt to bridge these divisions, and in doing so, create new bonds or strands with other players around the globe. Through your experience of playing the game, I hope you'll come to understand the importance of forging connections with others. So that's what Kojima has to say about the game.
That's pretty
good. So it sounds like, I don't know if there's going to be, like, some sort of online... entity to this, because he talks about, you know, connecting with players across the globe. Right. I don't know if there's going to be some sort of thing where, like, your game connects to other people's games. No idea. I'm assuming we'll probably see more about it at E3 or whatever PlayStation wants to put on this year for their show.
You know what they might rip from is Lord of the Rings, The Shadows of Mordor.
Yeah.
The second one had a really interesting feature to where it's not actual multiplayer, but, like... our worlds are the same. We're just like in a different one. So if a war chieftain kills me, mm-hmm. it puts a bounty on his head in someone else's game. And if they go kill him, we both get bonus points. And he gets like an Avenger thing.
Oh, okay.
So you're, yeah, you kind of help each other out in a way. They make it cooperative. So, and this game has like the two worlds that you can cross into. So maybe in that second world, you can be fighting someone or helping in that kind of capacity, but I don't see you being able to watch other players move around your space.
Right. I hope not. I'm not really into that kind of a thing.
No, it'd kind of ruin it because then you have some jagoff.
I just want to explore this place myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to hear nobody.
I don't want to hear anybody unless it's Mads Mikkelsen. All right.
You know, that was the one thing about the plot. Like, watch when you guys all watch it, it's very, very Norman Reedus. Like, okay. The plot is happening around him, and he just kind of throws in Norman Reedus things.
Yeah. I like Reedus.
So the president's like, you know, we need to make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, America's dead. You know, just like.
Oh, yeah, because she's like, we have to make America whole. And he's like, nah, America's gone. We don't need a country anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, sure we do. He's like, you're the president of jack shit.
Yeah, there we go. That's the fetus I was talking. That's the Norman Reedus I'm talking about. You're the president of jack shit. There's another one where they say these demons, they come out, you know, and rule the world and something. And he goes, who are those assholes again? Like,
and, well, oh, we're talking about the homo demons?
Yeah, the homo demons. And everybody's, like, explaining shit. And then he just throws in commentary. Like
read his lines.
He doesn't even need to be there. You could take his lines away, and it's just be a good monologue.
I like Reedus, man. I liked Norman Reedus since Blade 2.
The cast in this is ridiculous. Like, Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen, Leah Sado, Guillermo del Toro has a part in this.
Nicholas Winding Refn has a part in this. And yes. I've been spamming Drive GIFs all week, I feel like. So I'm pretty stoked off that.
Yeah, Margaret Qualley, Tommy Earl Jenkins, Lindsay Wagner, and of course, Troy Baker, because no video game is complete without Troy Baker.
Troy Baker, enlighten me.
Voice actor. BioShock, Last of Us, Persona. Okay.
He's the Joker now, I think.
Persona, yeah. Well.
He does a lot of Joker stuff.
Okay,
he was the Joker in Arkham Origins. He's in like every game you've ever played.
Okay, dope.
If it's not Mark Hamill in the video games, it's
Troy Baker. It's
I think there was a Nolan North and Troy Baker were like, it was like the Game Awards or something, mm-hmm. and they're like, you know, people often ask us, you know, how do I get into video game voice acting? And you really just, you have to wait for one of us to die.
It's accurate. Nice.
It's accurate. It's dope.
Roger Craig Smith holding it down, though. I give him some love. I think this is, Kojima has a relationship, obviously, with the Smash Bros. People, right? We got Snake.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to be getting this Norman Reedus character in the Smash game.
No, just the baby.
Just the bridge baby. It might be happening. Hey, there's three more DLC players, and they said that it's not going to be any Nintendo games. So,
Bridge Baby coming at you.
Bridge Baby.
You heard it here first. Yeah. I just put two and two together that Mads Mikkelsen calls the baby in the beginning BB.
Bridge Baby.
That just occurred to me. So the trailer ends. We'll watch it afterwards because you guys have to see this.
Yep.
The trailer ends with the line, Mads Mikkelsen is talking to the baby as a normal person. You know, clearly this might be something that's in the past. Mm-hmm. But he says, the whole wide world will be yours to explore. You'll be able to go wherever you want, even the moon. I'm like, is that to us? Am I listening to this? Is that supposed to be for me? Can I go to the moon?
That's dope.
I think
if Mads says you can, then damn it, you can.
I felt like that was a line already getting you hyped for Death Stranding 2. Like Death Stranding 1 is cool, but then number 2, we're going to
you
the
go
moon.
You go to the moon. Moon's haunted.
That's where you go. That's where you go.
So I'm excited for this.
I wish we could have just got that Silent Hill game, to be honest.
I mean, I think we all wish that.
That's how we got Guillermo del Toro, though.
Yes.
Word. He's still. They probably did scans for him to be in that game because it seems like that's what they did. It's like, oh, we already molded Norman Reedus into a game figure. Let's just use him in this.
Yeah, because it was the three of them. It was Kojima and Norman Reedus and Guillermo del Toro. And they were like, we're making this Silent Hill game. And Konami was like, fuck you, no, you're not. And they're like, fuck you, yes, we are. We're just going to call it something different. I'm going to make it myself.
Yep. Yeah. So perfect.
What was that? That's still my favorite picture on Norman Reedus' Instagram. It's just a picture of Kojima holding a Konami Tears teacup.
No way.
That was like years ago. It was fucking hilarious.
Dude, so
it was like
aggressive.
Right after everything went down, and he's just like sipping on a Konami Tears teacup.
Oh, Hideo.
But November, I cannot believe we're getting this game this year. I thought like this was going to be one of those that we just never see. Like it's going to be delayed and delayed and delayed. Hopefully it's not going to be delayed, but I'm surprised we got an announcement and that we got one 2 weeks before E3, which I know PlayStation's not going to be at, but
still,
this is the hot time. We're getting all sorts of cool E3 news. I'm excited. Well, I don't no plans on being there, but it's one of those ones we got to watch.
I know. I'm actually not going this year.
Aww. So you're not going either? Mm-mm. None of us are going this year.
So this will be my first in like 3 or 4 years that I'm not going to.
All right. What else we got in the news?
Something you put in, so I'm going to let you take it.
So YouTube gaming.
Which nobody cares about.
And surprisingly, I didn't curse this one. I pretty much called this one out the gate. I didn't think YouTube. It was one of those things where you just got to be first. Twitch, as far as streaming goes, it's a culture. It's a movement. It's Kappa. It's TryHard. It's, you know, it's all this shit that everyone does. It's PogChamp.
I think at this point, the only thing that could take Twitch down is Twitch. Yeah. Like, it would have to implode from the inside for something to take it over.
Especially with that infrastructure from Amazon now, like... Yeah, it's a titan. Yeah, what did Ricky Bobby say? If you're not first, you're last.
If you're not first, you're last. And YouTube Gaming came onto the scene with a streaming platform. To its credit, it wasn't bad. Like, they got Google resources.
True.
And it's kind of the same as Microsoft's version over there, too.
Mixer. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both really nice products. They throw down with Twitch and give you even more stuff. And
I hear a lot of people talk about how Mixer is actually way better than Twitch. It doesn't have... the
audience,
the viewership.
Yeah. It's really good if you're a top tier like Mixer streamer. They're out there.
I have an account.
Yeah.
I might flip that destination next time and hit the button.
Just see what happens. Why not? But YouTube Gaming came out. It had a streaming platform to it. It also had some exclusive esports rights to like Clash Royale.
Okay.
I think it even had some Counter-Strike for a minute there. Mm-hmm. And now starting May 30th, users will be getting directed back just to regular old YouTube. Twitch continues to dominate live streaming, according to data compiled by the game analytics company Newzoo. So just to kind of put it into perspective, Twitch had about 64,000 streamers getting about 2 million hours of live video. Mm-hmm. And that's like starting this year, January 1st. In that same amount of time, YouTube Gaming had 22,000 users getting 460,000 hours.
Yikes. Whoa.
Yeah.
So like a third of the users generating a quarter of the content.
Yeah. Exactly. Not good margins. YouTube said that sending visitors to the main platform. So there's two sides of it, basically. Like there's what YouTube, how they're sugarcoating it, and there's what some of the streamers are saying. Because what YouTube themselves is saying is that visitors to the main platform will make it easier for gaming fans to connect. We want to continue to build a stronger home for the gaming community that thrives on YouTube, not just the YouTube gaming app. So YouTube's saying like, hey, you know, we're mixing you with this huge audience of people who are already there. Because to be completely honest, I just learned this recently because I get so wrapped up in Twitch that, and for streaming, you know, these are huge numbers, like that many hours. Yeah. But the amount of hours watched on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just Fortnite videos.
Yeah.
Just Fortnite videos. Outrageous. would blow your mind. So while, you know, the live What's Happening Now content is on Twitch and is just very dominant and a huge force for generating revenue for sponsors. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. It's small compared to the giant net that is YouTube content and kids watching that.
Yeah, makes sense. And it's funny. I totally forgot it was there because I was doing some streaming on YouTube like earlier on, just kind of like testing it out. Last NBA season, just live reacting to games. And I totally, like, and I'd play some retro games too. I literally was just playing them straight on YouTube. I totally forgot about YouTube gaming, like, as a whole. I didn't even think about it. And the trend that I see now, because I watch a lot of, well, I mean, you see it with a lot of different things, but I like a lot of different comic book channels or like video game, you know, content creators and stuff like that too. They'll just use it supplemental. So they'll put out their normal edited videos and then, you know, they'll have their one day a week where, you know, they do a stream and whatnot. But it's true. The stream grind is totally different on that side too. It doesn't fully have that like grind, like long stream culture that Twitch does. It's pretty different.
Yeah. And Twitch's weakness is that like, I can't remember the percentage off the top of my head. It was in a separate article I read a few weeks ago. But, like, nobody is watching VODs on Twitch.
It's the complete opposite.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to run reruns. I think that's the best use of saving content on there. But besides that, you're not going to make any kind of killing. Sponsors aren't asking how many, you know, views your videos get from the VOD department. So, you know, that's a weakness they have that I'm sure they're going to try and catch up to. Like, they're actually behind YouTube. So we had the other side of that, though. A YouTube gaming user, his name is, like, K-Wings Let's Play. Mm-hmm. And I guess...
That's how you say it. I was sitting here like, Queens? What the fuck is that?
He does like walkthroughs, and he's been a partnered channel with YouTube since 09. Mm-hmm. So this is an OG. Yeah. This guy's been through. He says, the new hub doesn't have a wide variety of games and genres. Instead, it focuses on trending videos of Fortnite and based off your personal watch history. Mm-hmm. It's not a place where gamers can search for games they're interested in and the channels that cover them. So what he's saying is that YouTube Gaming had a better way of, more condensed. You're not competing with, all the other streamers and, makeup people and Keemstars of the world. Right. You're going there just for gaming, and so it's super easy for a guy like K-Wings. Now K-Wings has to go into general population.
Yeah.
He's not so big over there.
Right.
And that algorithm does not favor content for shit that's not hot, and it's just going to be throwing Ninja and Tfue in your face for the rest of your life.
Pretty much.
So this dude's going to – he's saying that this isn't so good for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Twitch just, I mean, the culture and the way that it's set up, and the fact that it doesn't even have to be video games, like the people doing cosplay and people doing all sorts of other arts and crafts and woodworking and all that. That's the key, I feel like, is the community. Like the services are there and all that stuff, and they do their updates and they make their changes and all that stuff, but the key is really the community and the culture that they've built. When I first got on, I was just so like raids. What? Like, so you mean to tell me that someone can take their viewers and like drop them on someone who doesn't have as many and help them grow? It's part of the culture.
That was a cool feature that evolved because people just started
hosting.
Yeah, before hosting was always a thing. Your channel could show, if I'm offline and I want people to see my friend Curtis, I can offer up my channel in that way.
Right.
And so what big streamers would do would be like bomb other people. Mm-hmm. So your ninjas out there with their thousands of people would go find some kid with two viewers and just be like, "Merry Christmas." It'd make stars in some cases.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, let's actually officially make it. And they added functionality for raids.
So dope.
So cool. Emma, what do you think about, what do you search on YouTube? What do you do over there?
My YouTube is a really weird mix of video games and makeup. And my algorithm has no fucking idea what to do with it.
What do you watch? Walkthroughs? Because you watch, do you watch Twitch?
I don't really watch Twitch. I don't. It's funny, I like creating live content, but I don't generally consume live content. Like, if I'm going to watch a video game, I'm probably going to watch an edited Let's Play or an edited walkthrough or something where, like, I can just sit there and watch, like, somebody that's not speaking and I can just watch the game. Right. Generally, Twitch isn't what I go for. But if I'm watching, like, my gaming stuff is all either Let's Plays, like, edited Let's Plays, or gaming news. It's a lot of gaming news, like Inside Gaming. I've been like devouring their videos since they came back.
Word.
What about you, Leek?
I watch a lot of basketball stuff. It goes from anywhere from NBA highlights to AAU high school kid highlights.
What?
Yeah. I also watch a lot of like those morning kind of sports shows, like First Take and all this. I watch Rad Brad. He does a lot of walkthroughs. I've been watching his stuff for the Spider-Man, actually.
That's my shit.
Kind of getting into that.
How are you liking the Spider-Man?
I love it. I love the web slinging. That part is like
it's
crazy.
It's so nice.
Like, I can just web swing. I can just web swing forever, honestly. I don't have to do a mission.
Especially on the PlayStation, I don't think I ever 100%ed a game. But that one was just so fun. Mm. It has what does Nintendo call it? They're kind of pioneers of it. They kind of...
Making the same game over and over again?
No. God damn. No, Mario 64 had it. And I think they call it the toy box sensation or something. Where the game, like when you played Mario 64... Everyone played because Mario was just fun to move around.
Yeah.
Like, they really mastered movement, and he can do any kind of cartwheel or slide and stuff, and it became an art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting to certain platforms and spaces by chaining. And they kept that alive even in the new one, Mario Odyssey.
Odyssey, for sure. It
feels the same way. This is just fun to be in the world.
That's right.
Whether you're walking, swinging, doing the missions, like, crazy good. How far have you gotten in the story?
I think I'm, like, think I'm like 27% in or something like that.
Oh, you're still like early game.
Yeah, I've been playing it for about like 3 days, 3 or 4 days. So, you know, I the first run was like I got to like 7%. And then my second run when I played it, that's when I really got immersed into it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up playing for like 2 hours, 3 hours on that one. But yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving the button mashing. Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. Well, then that was all the bulk of the big news stories, but we do have some bang bites. So the first one was super exciting. We're going to find out about it at E3. But Square Enix Avengers game is going to be shown at the E3 press
conference.
Finally. Yes.
They're finally going to show something.
And we haven't. Well, the fact that they put Avengers title on, it's cool. We didn't even know that at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of just like it was all rumors.
Yeah.
You know, there's a rumor that Square Enix and Eidos Montreal are working on it.
Like a Marvel thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't so clear. Now it'll be some shit if they come out and call it a movie game or something.
Oh, like, God. End game the game.
Endgame the game.
Endgame the game.
So what do you want, Emma? What do you want to see out of a Square Enix game?
Spider-Man. I want the Spider-Man game with everybody else. Just take that game, those mechanics, and fucking copy-paste it onto Iron Man and Wanda and Captain America. Just fucking give me that.
That's a great idea.
we're already going to get it with the Switch version. So I think we're not going to get that one, Emma.
Switch version of
Are you the talking Avengers. About? Oh, the Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah, and that's more though too. Like that's not just the Avengers.
I think
the mechanics are going to be pretty different. Yeah.
Who actually developed this one?
Square Enix and Eidos Montreal.
Eidos Montreal. What are they known for?
So the two of them together just did, or Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal is, they just did the
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, the newest Tomb Raider, which is why I was like bummed.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like that game. And then I was like, I wonder what else they're working on. The Avengers game. Oh, shit. So maybe they're just not good for Tomb Raider and they'll be good for this. And I'm going to hold out hope.
I'm just trying to see what other stuff they've done. But it's a lot of Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
They did Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, Gex. These guys were behind Gex.
I don't even know what Gex is.
Oh, man. You don't remember that? Like,
why'd
the James
you say it like that, Curtis?
Gex.
Gex. It was that James Bond lizard from the original
what?
PlayStation.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Starting to come back to me.
That
made it so much weirder than I thought it was.
Anthropomorphic things like leads were really popular back then. This was the day of Banjo, Crash, Spyro,
Gex. So not an action. Okay, so when you said James Bond lizard, I thought you meant like literally a James Bond game with a lizard.
No, kinda.
You mean like a Gex is the lizard and it's like a James Bond esque thing. Oh,
no, and he wears a suit with he's James Bond the lizard.
Oh my god, look at that picture. That is James Bond as a lizard.
Yeah. That reminds me of the Geico kid.
That's awful.
Well, no, that's a grown man actually.
Well, same actor.
Yeah,
okay. Same actor. He got a little older and became a Geico guy. I still, every time we talk about Avengers, we gotta talk about the canceled game that was basically Overwatch with Avengers characters.
Right.
It was like a first person game.
You want to see that?
Oh, which one? Yeah, hell yeah. The world does.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, totally.
Would that be good?
Hell yeah.
Would it?
Yeah.
I don't really know what I want from this. I'm going to wait and see what they say. So their press conference is on June 10th at 9 a.m.? I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
June 10th.
Yeah.
We'll do more coverage on all the E3 press conferences and everything coming up.
Oh, definitely.
When they're all announced.
Dauntless, that game, zipped past 6 million players in its first week.
That's crazy.
The power of the Epic Game Store is what I'm going to say.
I'm Word. So out of the loop. I don't even know what Dauntless is. I keep hearing people talk about it, and I'm like, I have no reference for what the fuck this is.
What are you hearing?
Just that people are playing it.
Positively, though? Like, because I'm not seeing...
I've heard that people are playing it, and I've heard that people are trying to play it but can't get in the servers.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's the main thing that I've heard. I keep hearing about all these people that want to play it, but they're having trouble downloading it and whatnot.
It's like Fortnite-style graphics, so it's like very approachable type character models, but it's Monster Hunter. So, big multiplayer world.
I'd rather just play Monster Hunter.
I do like Capcom.
Well, this is free. This is they're following that same model.
So is Monster Hunter if you have Game Pass.
Well, that's not free. They're taking Monster Hunter, setting it to Fortnite appeal style graphics on the Epic Game Store, and it's going to be battle passes essentially.
Word.
So they're going to do the same thing.
I'm out.
The reviews have been positive. It's been like it's the same thing as Monster Hunter. If you've never played it, you or a group of people go beat up a small monster, collect all of its guts, turn it into weapons and armor so that you can go fight bigger monsters, and then the process repeats itself into infinity. So this will, it's a proven method. It works. Emma, you're not interested just because of what? The Fortnite comparison?
That's not a graphic style that I'm big on. And if I wanted to play Monster Hunter Lite, I would just play Monster Hunter.
Yeah. And there's like mobile Monster Hunter and shit too.
Yeah. And I would kind of say the same thing too. I don't favor Fortnite art and like the stylization of it. I do like Monster Hunter stylization and aesthetic.
Yeah,
and
I like the graphics in that game.
Yeah, it looks good, and I like Capcom as a dev, so or even publisher. So yeah, I would probably just go play that.
disappointing story. Starting its game sales for the month, and Mortal Kombat 11 was somehow April's best selling game of the month.
But where is this coming from? Like the London or the England physical sales only kind of thing?
No, this is just like USA.
But where is that coming from? Where's that number coming from?
The internet. I didn't cite my source on the thing. Okay, you just have to take my word for it.
I know, that's why I'm asking you, where did that come from?
Oh my gosh, I fact checked it. It was on my daily walkthrough.
Because the US doesn't really have a thing where like we put out game sales numbers.
That's what it says. It says it became the number two best-selling game of 2019. Actually, wait, this was written by Ed Boon? I've been foiled. Sorry. Ed Boon wrote that. Delete.
Bye, Ed Boon.
Who knows what the best game is?
What just happened?
Video Game Bang is brought to you by...
I'm so confused.
It was the Billboard charts. Special cases in chat nailed it. Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is IGN.
I mean, I wasn't saying you were wrong. I was just curious where you got it from.
No, you questioned me, and then I cracked, Emma. Let's do some Curtis's comic book corner.
Yeah, shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for always providing us with dope books. Me and Leek went in there today.
It's like my first time.
Yeah. The Genesis.
They popped my cherry.
That's right. They did it. And they cleaned it all up before we left. Hey. We went in there to get...
Thanks, I hate it.
In keeping with the theme of bursted hymens, we... Thank you.
This is what we restarted the podcast for.
Wait, what are you talking about, Emma?
Mm-hmm. We didn't restart the podcast. Nah. This is Oblivion Comics and Coffee Comic of the Week. I chose Black Panther number 12 by Ta-Nehisi Coates with art by Jen Bartel, who some of y'all may know from Jim in the Hologram. She was doing that book and got really popular. I want to say she won an award for the art in that book. I'll pass it around a little bit. And I was a really big fan, obviously, of Ta-Nehisi Coates' previous run with him and Mr. Brian Stelfreeze, whom my good friend Malik may or may not have a commissioned piece of his artwork in his collection. But it's not that I was expecting the same thing, because I kind of knew what to expect from Jim Bartel. And that's probably the only thing that kind of took me out of the book. It's still Ta-Nehisi in his writing, but I just wanted the art to be a little more sharp and look a little more realistic, have a little bit more grit to it. But I was so conflicted because it still looks so dang good. Like the coloring and all of the post-production on the book and the pencils look incredible. But the premise is Wakanda has a section of Wakandans now in space, and the reason why they're there is a pretty interesting reason, but without giving too much of it away, T'Challa has kind of come back around to the point where he never asked to be king, and he's conflicted about it, and he's kind of taken through, he's in the Jalia, you know, speaking to his ancestors and trying to get some wisdom from them and insight, and they're kind of taking him a bit through his recent life, him and Storm and their marriage, and how that certain amount of Wakandans went up to space, but only so many of them made it back. Most of them didn't, and how if only he would have went and been a warrior instead of being a king and staying and dictating, he might have been able to save them or give them better direction when he's there. So he's very conflicted about where things are going to go, and all the while in the background, in Jadaka, aka Eric Killmonger,
yes.
something has been taken from him, but he's also been given some great power, and the nation of Wakanda is looking to eliminate him, and they have something set up to where it can happen, but the issue is they have to sacrifice a whole planet for it. Not a whole planet of people, but still a planet, which is a great resource for them. And they've moved past depending on vibranium, but at the same time, you know, they're trying to... They're conflicted in the fact, do the ends justify the means? So that's what I like about Ta-Nehisi Coates' writing primarily. He does, like, his conflicts are great conflicts that there aren't easy answers to. And every solution, I mean, kind of similar to real life, but he really puts an onus on every solution has a cost. So again, you will enjoy the art if you like the art. It will look good. But if you were a reader of the previous Black Panther Ta-Nehisi Coates run, just kind of be advised that, you know, the aesthetic is going to be a little different. But I gave it overall a 7.5 out of 10, or excuse me, a 7 out of 10. And I would definitely say, if you're a fan of just the character Black Panther, pick it up.
In some of those panels, he looks a little too much like Drake. He's got that same beard, you know?
Yeah. It's totally true. And that's kind of the thing with Jim Bartel. Like, Jim Bartel is kind of similar to Jamie McKelvey in a way. Like, if you've ever read or seen any of the art from The Wicked and the Divine, like icons and pop stars and celebrities, like, everybody in the book looks like, you know, for the most part, an icon or a pop star or celebrity. So that, like I said, now that's kind of...
I'm looking at Storm's bangs over here.
Right, yeah, right? Like, Storm looks like almost like Naomi Campbell with, like, all white hair or something. Like, everybody looks gorgeous, but that's kind of, like I said, that's kind of what takes me out of it a little bit, because everybody doesn't look like, and people look different because of certain things that have happened in their life.
Some people are ugly.
Some people are ugly in this world. We gotta face it. Some people are ugly. Cute to you, but ugly to everybody else, which is fine. But like I said, the art is still good. It's just, and it looks good, but just be advised that, you know, the story is what's probably going to carry you through. It's a good, like I said, 7 out of 10. Go down to Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Pick that up.
That's a buy.
Yes, sir.
Lost Sheep in chat says, Drake.
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 Oh, gosh.
It was only
that dude
time.
That got bodied by Captain America, Drake. tell us your stream schedule, Emma Skies.
I will be streaming... That's a good fucking question. I don't know.
You got to come back. Everybody's been waiting. You were at Fanime.
Oh, I was on today. I started an expert run on Cuphead, and I want to shoot
Why
myself.
Did you do that?
Because I have to. It was a stretch goal for our charity stream last month.
So you're doing it for charity?
I want to die.
Are you a little concerned that people only like giving you money if it causes you pain?
Yes.
It's kind of concerning.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Leek, man, what you got going on, man?
I've been reading a couple comics. Kurt's been sliding some to me. And every now and then I wake up with a comic at the bottom of my door. So, you know, he just slides it right under. Yeah.
What a great roommate.
I know, right?
Kurt is just giving me comics. You don't stream or anything, right?
I don't stream.
You can catch you on some of Curtis's streams.
Absolutely.
Though.
I'm usually on his stream. I'm usually watching his stream. I'm usually watching streams, playing streams. I just have not had the courage to put my toe in that water of stream.
Oh, yeah. Curtis is going to slide a camera.
I know. Right? He's going to slide me in front of the...
Curtis, what about you, man? What you been streaming? What's your schedule looking like?
Been on my 2K grind, but we've been reading a lot of comics. Me and Jake, a.k.a. Eagle Brain in the chat. Me and Lost Sheep, of course. Special cases have been coming
special
through.
Special cases?
Special cases? Special cases?
Dude, he got bodied by Prep Rat Gamers. Special cases?
Yeah, exactly. So, Specs been coming through. A lot of people, Madison. Everybody's
Madison
coming through.
Even. Wow.
Yeah,
the homie school.
Everybody but y'all. Y'all got to come through to the stream.
We got the
one
goons
time.
Over there. Man, I do.
But not for comics, though. You got to come through for comics. You come through for the 2K. You was on the stream the other day dunking on people.
Oh, you were streaming that?
Yeah, I was streaming that.
I didn't
that.
Even know you were streaming that.
I didn't send you the clips yet, but I clipped. I got everything clipped out, bro.
I need a mixtape.
Yeah, you going to have one.
That was
gonna
fun. Be that was really, really fun. Even though, to the game's credit, as a, like a 66, a lowly 66, mm-hmm. we actually won a game.
Yeah, we won one game.
And we were pretty competitive in some others. Like, you could still have fun
absolutely
in the online, even though you're not some super OP character.
I've lost to 66s. Like, cats just go in there and just they're better at the game. So, yeah, it's not, you can't just pay to be good. Like, you still got to grind.
Yeah, super fun game. Well, that's our stream, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed the show and you want to watch it in person, you can do so on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. We do the show on Wednesday and Saturday nights. It's live. You could react, give us inspiration. We could steal your jokes. It's a huge thing. We love hanging out with you guys. And then we usually do an after show. So if you like extra content and we answer more questions. And then same, likewise, if you're one of the people here in chat, we do this as an RSS feed, which means you can listen to it on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, iHeartRadio now. We got over to iHeart. So anything, anywhere you could find podcasts, you should be able to find us. And if you can't, let me know personally on my Twitter at What's Up Pizzas, and I'll make sure we get there. But that's our show for Curtis Leak, Emma Skies. My name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.